You're now diving into the fish tank.
Sitting down with Seth Living, Seth. OJ, Juice Man, ooh, and this is strictly for them true fans, yeah. Golf fans, number one. Of course, y'all, this ain't no ordinary sports talk. Dive up in that fish tank.
Welcome back to the Fish Tank right here on the Miami Dolphins Podcast Network. Seth Levitt, DJ Preach on the ones and twos. OJ McDuffie in the house. Juice, how are you feeling today, man?
I'm feeling great, Big Seth, and you know why.
I absolutely know why.
Got it.
The moment we've all been waiting for.
Right. Right.
Yeah, without further ado, let's just bring you right on in here. Yeah. Jason Jackson.
Well, hello.
How you doing, man?
I'm better than most. That's
every day of your life.
Every freaking day. It's been a fun summer. It didn't start off awesome, getting swept out with the employer.
Yeah.
But that also allows for a little more reflection and you kind of dive inside the misery. And
we like to dive.
Yeah.
Come
on, I paid attention.
You did your homework.
Yeah, a little bit.
Of course.
And then you let that stuff go and you start looking forward. And free agency was fun for us. And my family life is awesome. And now I got some new responsibilities. I'm sure we'll get to all this. But
all of it.
Yeah.
All of it. If we don't,
just
just take control.
I can just go.
Just grab the wheel and take control.
It is ridiculous when you are an interviewer for a living and then you're getting interviewed.
I would imagine that's
I'll start asking you guys questions. I won't do that. I find that annoying.
Imagine being a PR guy and then actually starting to interview people in front of the camera.
It shouldn't be legal.
All kinds of.
It should not be legal.
Yes. Okay. Let's keep that on the hush. Right. So look, we're going to get into all of it, as you said, but you know, if you follow the fish tank, we're never in a space like this. We're by a football field. We're in front of a lake. We're in Channing Crowder's kitchen, whatever it might be. But tell us why we are here right now.
Because everyone here loves you.
No.
Let it be known.
Let's be
Like in your expansive job, when you're not here trying to
my day job
steal, you know, like a schooled broadcaster's role. You've done some amazing things for Jason Taylor's Foundation with this beautiful partner. And I've just tried to be like you. I mean, like, just you find great partners and you have great events and you try to impact people's lives. And that's what we've been doing with Jack's Fan Foundation for five years now. And we're hosting the Jack Celebrity Roast Volume 4.
Juice.
Right here.
Unbelievable event.
At the Hard Rock. Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino has been the finest location partner we've ever had. And it's really, really awesome. We're going to have it over in the Dare nightclub, which actually gives me a little pause. Like I've aged out of
the nightclub thing?
Nightclub, day club life.
Yeah.
But you won't know that night.
Not at the Hard Rock. You can't age out of anything.
Yeah, at all. I'm going to let it rip. I'm going to let it rip. But the roast has been great. You guys were a part of roast number two.
Man, we were. JT got roasted. Well, first of all, you invited us. I don't know how the hell we got him to say yes, but he did. And then, you know who we hired as the first roaster? Was Channing Crowder.
Yeah.
So he brought Crowder in.
Yeah.
And I couldn't wait for it. Talk about must-see TV. Although, no TV, because Jax gets in there and he chews everybody's ass out. Turn your phones off.
Yeah.
No cameras. Right. I think he said these are grown-ass people with jobs.
Right. We're not.
Getting fired.
Nobody's getting fired.
Yeah, it was an unbelievable experience. But the problem was that the first 10 minutes, I was getting roasted by Crowder.
Right.
I'm like, how? I didn't sign up for that.
Channing's still the only roaster in four events that got played off the stage.
Is that right?
They're still playing the music.
You have 15 minutes. At 15 minutes, you get a light.
Right.
Right? At 20 minutes, the band starts playing. And they play louder incrementally. And it got to a point where he just started to recognize, are you all playing me off?
Yeah.
No, we've played you off. No one can hear you.
Right.
The music, sit down. Yeah. But he was great.
How the other guys just start roasting each other.
Oh, so the that's kind of the breeze. I get it.
Yeah.
Ooh, Jax gets it big time.
Oh, no.
I almost feel
you gotta
like
get it.
You're getting roasted the whole time.
Yeah. When you are the host, you're going to catch it.
Well, who's getting roasted this year?
Dan Le Batard, beloved sports writer and broadcast mogul.
Yeah, I mean, media mogul.
Mogul is the right word.
I mean, DraftKings, hello. I mean, you might have to edit that out. I'm not sure.
I don't know.
But
I don't know. We just loaded Jason Jenkins and he makes it.
They dropped some dough down there at the Clevelander for them
to
jump out of there.
I remember when he used to write.
Yeah.
He used to be a sports writer.
Yeah. No, I was. You know, it's so funny with Dan. It has been, he's been the most challenging person to maintain, like, just detail stuff.
Okay, good.
And which is insane.
I'm glad we got
past that.
Because I have
a Hall of Famer, right, with Jason. Irie was first, this international freakazoid robot, you know, going around, you know, spinning the wheels of steel. and the greatest player in Heat history have been the people that we've had. It just easy deal with. They got people.
And the local sports.
Levitard has no staff. Like, how are you going to run?
How does he have no staff?
How are you going to? And this is not something where, like, it's ego-driven or what have you. If you're running a multi, I'll do that 20 times if I need to.
It's a lot of multi.
Million-dollar company, you don't have anybody that answers the phone? Hello, welcome to Metal Arc Media.
Right.
Like, something.
So who's it? So you it's have to text them?
It's been a challenge.
Is there any concern that, you know, what come showtime, are you going to be checking the watch?
It might be the first year I start roasting somebody in the high hello.
I love it.
Because I'm usually there just to, I raise the money, and then I get out the way and let the funny people be funny.
I don't know about all that. Well, yeah. I love that you chose the Hard Rock. Yeah. Certainly one of our favorite places, as you said, from the foundation. Fun recreationally to come out here, hang out at the Hard Rock. You don't have to sell the Miami Dolphins on how wonderful the Hard Rock is with, as partners, right. But I love that we are in a comedy club right now.
We almost had it in here.
You are one of the funniest damn bits. You could not have fit it.
I wanted it intimate.
This
so
is a
Dwayne's
great event.
Roast got to almost 600 people. And I was like, that's too much. Yeah. That's not what I'm trying to accomplish.
Right.
And because you lose the, you know, the room just gets too big. You can't keep people focused on what's happening. So I was, you know what? Comedy club would be perfect. And then I was like, oh, I have to raise money.
Right.
So I need some more people.
Fundraiser.
Right. Yeah, intimate.
You're
going to
write the check.
Right. Well, I am going to write it, but it's with other people's money.
As the so way. The cool thing is we can get about 300 people upstairs. So it's going to be awesome.
I'm sure it'll be great.
Yeah.
I'm sure it'll be great.
Thank you.
Yeah, man.
You know, Big Seth, I knew I loved Jax, man, before I met him, man. You know why? One of the original Ohio players right here.
Come on, man.
You know what
Cleveland
I mean?
Heights, Ohio. Me,
Cleveland Heights.
Well, let me tell you this, Jax. I did a little other research, man.
Oh, boy.
I found out you. I don't want to tell your age, but I'm older than you, of course.
A little bit.
But you were.
That's why he doesn't want to tell your age.
That's right. That's right.
Got to start dialing it up.
That's right. That's right. Were you born in Delaware, Ohio?
Delaware, Ohio, about 23 miles north of Columbus.
I know where that's at. You know why I know where that's at?
I have no idea.
My mom, you were born, I'm going to tell you, put the year after. You were born in 72.
Yes, sir.
I was born in 69. Mm-hmm. I was actually going to college back then with my mom. She went to Ohio Wesleyan University.
Are you kidding?
So
right there in Delaware.
Right there in Delaware. We couldn't afford a babysitter. Uh-huh. So when she went to class, I went to class.
Juice was taking college classes.
I was taking college classes.
Loved
that. Before I even got in, before I went to school, man. So
what a cool story. Like, I don't ever think anyone knows anything about where I was born. My father was born there as well.
Yeah.
So that's pretty sweet. So, yeah, I was born in 72
Ohio, guys.
In Delaware. Then we moved to Cleveland in 75 yep. and then Cincinnati in 85. So
85.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
Cleveland boys.
I got
man.
It all.
I love, man, Cleveland, you know, being Cleveland. I was born actually in Marion, Ohio.
Okay.
Went to school briefly in Delaware, Ohio, as we
so
talked
strong.
About.
And I love
then,
that.
13, I moved to Cleveland. Warrensville Heights.
Okay. We weren't
Cleveland. Nah, right up the street, man.
Absolutely.
Right up the street, man.
Love that.
Well,
stuff,
you kept it Ohio from jump,
yep.
didn't he?
Yep. Yep.
So, after,
you know, but you also know that these Ohio cats are a little different, Big Seth. We're a little different than the rest of you dudes, man.
Do so, tell.
Yeah, and actually, Seth actually spent a little time in Cleveland.
Yeah, but I couldn't hang with you guys.
You sure did.
Yeah, one winter and I was done.
That was it.
I came
huh?
running back to back South Florida. Florida.
Was that was pre-LeBron that you were there?
LeBron was like 11 when I was with the cats.
So you could have started, is what you're saying.
I had a decent team.
Okay.
But Doherty was hurt. That was before he could get back in. But Terrell Brandon,
love that
Bobby Phils, may he rest in peace.
Was Karate there that year? Was that one of his
we
last?
We signed Karate on the 10-day, and we never
you
could get
the
rid of
Czar
him.
You had and Rothstein and everybody.
I had
there.
Them all.
Oh,
mercy. Yeah, Mikey,
no better days than the Price days, though, man. Mark Price and
the
boys
him.
And Doherty and those cats, man. It was fun.
Yeah, like everybody else, they ran into Michael Jordan.
That's right.
Twice.
That's right.
I tell the story all the time that when you see Michael Jordan's statue outside the United Center, There's all these arms, you know, reaching out, and one of them is actually Craig Ehlo. It's actually kids. Go ahead, right now. Take the time. Can we stop for a second and let the kids go to YouTube and watch Craig Ehlo?
Go to YouTube. Educate them. Go to YouTube.
You know what I mean?
Rub it in his
That's
face.
One of your boys there, Big Seth.
Yeah, I like Ehlo, man. That was my guy.
For the tournaments and stuff.
He came out. Yeah, he played in the first ever Jason Taylor Celebrity Golf Classic.
Awesome. And he took the challenge though. Like he took the challenge to guard the greatest player. On the planet. It just went the way it goes with everybody.
Yeah, I was going to say. There's no shame in it. Michael Jordan
Zero.
Beat you. Get in line.
Yeah. Come on. Get Who's next?
Exactly. Yeah. So speaking of next, you did your thing, Cleveland Heights. Mm-hmm. You said you went to Cincinnati.
Sure.
Kept it Ohio.
Yeah.
Bowling Green.
Oh, my alma mater.
Yeah.
By the way, can we just give them kudos? So people that don't know.
First Bowling Green reference in the history of the Fish Tank.
Yeah, but it won't be the last because you might even pick up somebody from the current football team. The greatest thing for a mid-major is taking a huge check from a Big Ten, Pac-10, SEC, ACC school, going and winning.
Yeah.
Because you're going to go get a big check, right? Right? Take care of the athletic department for the year. But they went to Minnesota and got the dub. Could you imagine? Give me that money.
Right.
And this
double.
Come on. I, Ziggy Zoom, before we're Falcons, baby.
It runs
that
deep.
Was phenomenal.
It runs deep.
Phenomenal.
Well, and you didn't just cheer for the sports teams there. You
yeah.
got a little paper at the end of it, got your yeah. degree, and very quickly, you came down to South Florida.
5 days after graduation.
Was it that quickly?
Yeah,
I didn't realize it was that
I was quick. Actually hired by WSVN in March of 94. And I went into this whole thing with them about how important it was for me to graduate. Like,
yeah.
you know, because some you hear the story of, like, people
back,
get
Jack.
The get you, No, really? Really.
That's what they say.
Yeah. Well, I was moving from Bowling Green, Ohio to Miami, yeah. Florida. Right. When was I
going
to go back?
Probably not going
Never.
Back. Well, you haven't.
Yeah. I actually ended up moving for a year back
Did
to
you?
Bowling Green. Whole other story. So anyway, so yeah, I left college, came immediately to WSV.
I mean, that's impressive. Well, yeah. I guess you left college
yeah,
immediately came went
immediately
to work. Some of us actually had to work our asses off yeah. and find a place. But, yeah. you know, God bless you, first round draft picks.
Yeah,
and
thank you.
So, you know, it's so funny, though. As much as we love Ohio, we're not going back there to live, you know?
So that tells you something.
We do love Ohio, but still.
That I treat Cincinnati like Las Vegas right now.
Right.
3 days, and I'm like, give me that. I got to go.
Like
I got to go. Shockingly, 2016, I learned a lot about my old friends.
Yeah.
And now
it took you
even
that long?
Quicker. Well, I didn't realize. Yeah. You know, you grow up with people and everything's all awesome.
Right.
And then the world changes because.
And then it's not.
Yeah. I'm not going to get deep into it, but I think people can figure out.
Let's not go there.
People can figure out what I was doing.
I think
with,
I know exactly
yeah,
what
home.
You're talking about.
Yes, sir.
So you came down here and in mm-hmm. 1994.
Yeah.
I mean. You know, if you were going to cover sports down
right.
here,
yeah.
it wasn't long before you were sent out to Davie. And so if you're wondering,
yeah.
why is the Heat guy?
Right.
Why is the Heat guy here in the fish tank?
Yeah.
Not only is he entertaining, but you were sent out to Davie to go cover the Miami Dolphins.
Right.
And there was a little surprise for me because you weren't the only Cleveland legend
oh my God.
That landed in South Florida.
Dude, my entire football life had been turned upside down. As you know, Juice knows, the Browns had moved.
Yeah.
Right? Shut down operation. They're off to Baltimore to win my Super Bowls that I still deserve. And and I have no football home, right? So
yeah.
I'm like, you know what? There's something about enjoying the success of the team that you cover. It just kind of makes things
Absolutely.
Easier. The relationships aren't contentious.
Right.
And you're just
we would like
just there
to
and uplifting.
That.
Yeah.
For sure.
And so I just bought in going in, but then I didn't realize that they just signed Bernie Kosar, who was like – For me, I'm going to tell you this really simply.
Yeah.
Like, of all the athletes that I've beloved, Barry Larkin, Tiger Woods, Magic Johnson.
So these names.
This dude, Bernie, because he's from Northeast Ohio,
yep.
because it was the renaissance of the Browns, even though, I mean, two of the worst moments in my sports life, the fumble and the drive.
And the drive.
The drive doesn't bother me as much because that's just a team beating you. Right? Elway just marched it down.
Fair enough.
That's the way it goes.
That guy was pretty good.
But man, Ernest Biner.
Yeah.
I mean, taking it over the line, fumbling the line. The greatest moment in that entire video, if you ever go back and look at that fumble, is Webster Slaughter over in the top left-hand corner of the screen.
Boy.
Who was just, we finally did it. Finally did it.
Yeah.
And then he realizes fumble and recovered by Denver. And he just falls like all of his bones were taking out of his body at the same time. Just crumples
collapses.
To the ground. But Bernie gave us so much joy just lifting this team back up into prominence. And here's the crazy thing. I missed most first halves because I am in a black family that went to church every Sunday. And these folks don't know how to stop talking and raising money for a church they're never going to build and making sure the pastor has his Lexus payment squared away. You know, I mean, it's just a lot.
I don't, but
yeah.
you know, I'm gonna
so it was like... Why am I always missing the first half?
Right.
Amen.
Right.
But
you didn't miss the first half of Bernie.
Right.
No, it was really cool to be around every day. And this is when Dan Marino, I think on this show you can say Dan.
We call
knows,
him Danny,
right?
but
Danny,
you know,
yeah. was making his way back from the Achilles blowout. So I'm like, now here's the gunslinger of the era here. I'm going to miss a little of that. But so having Kosar in that spot was pretty awesome. And also the winningest head coach ever, you know.
That guy.
That was... Yeah. It was unnerving sometimes, yeah. I imagine, as a player, but just to question someone of that caliber. Another,
right.
Another Cleveland guy, by the way.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh,
another
yes. John Carroll.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
Yeah.
This it
is
was
the Cleveland
you see
episode.
The theme there? You see what's
yeah.
going on here?
Yeah, yeah. I lined it all up.
Coach Shula was, that was intimidating for a 23-year-old to come in and Q&A. You know, I back then I would write down my questions to make sure that they actually Is there understandable.
A problem with writing down your question? If
you need that type of kickstand, and nobody,
nobody's
upset. We're
podcast guys. They put the damn camera out there and just exposed all of our tricks.
Right, right.
All good.
Come on.
But what a great time.
Right? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you know, and BK, you know, he's one of my guys too, man. You know, you talk about how you love BK and what a one of your sports heroes kind of deal.
Yeah.
You know, when I was in Cleveland as a senior in high school, BK, Bernie Kosar, was the Browns player of the year for football.
Right.
I was the offensive player of the year in high school, and Desmond Howard was the defense player of the year. So we were at the same banquet, plain dealer banquet, together, you know, celebrating.
With Bernie.
Life. Yeah. So I was like, I was sitting up on the stage, like, man, that's Bernie Kosar.
Yeah, both of y'all should have been banned for not going to Ohio State. But,
Wow. No, I'm just. We can go there if you want.
I mean, I don't
want
to go
there.
You got other things. I couldn't believe when these two.
Is that not in the cards?
No, it's not
in the cards. Like, left the state. Desmond more than you.
Yeah.
Desmond going to Michigan.
Yeah, it's a little different.
Well, yo, Elvis too, right? Elvis went.
They went together.
Shame on who was recruiting for Ohio State at that point.
Well, that wasn't the problem. The problem was Ohio State firing Earl Bruce. Fired Earl Bruce,
John Cooper,
and we're like,
it's not the same.
Don't blame the kids.
Yeah, I did at the time.
Yeah,
I was a kid.
Right.
So
but now you're grown.
My perspective was was off.
Yeah, they should have got it right.
Yeah, you mentioned it briefly, Jax, about Bernie being here, but one Trey was my guy too. You know, right? The Achilles injury you talked about, that's what happened in Cleveland, by the way. You know what I mean?
Special turf. Cleveland.
Tell me, you got to have a few things. You know, coming in a young guy. You know, being on the beat. Uh-huh. When you're interacting with Dan Marino.
Here's the thing. Dan's talk day, right, the day that he would do interviews was Wednesday.
Yeah. Back then.
Wednesday was my Sunday. So I was off Tuesday, Wednesday. So I really never interviewed Dan until postgame. And those are scrummy, you know. Like even Wednesday was scrummish in the sense of the amount of people. And I'm, by the way, that is a evolution because there was an old term we used to have for those interviews, which I'm not going to say.
It's not,
the
not
kids.
Even, not even for podcasts.
Yeah. No, but it was a ridiculous term. Now I call it the scrum.
Yeah.
The scrum.
That was a ridiculous term.
Like, why do we even talk like that?
Yeah, I don't know.
Neanderthals. Anyway, so I only interviewed Dan Marino on a Wednesday once, and it was an emergency. And it was because there was all that conversation of where's Deion going?
Right.
He ended up going to San Francisco.
Yeah.
But he was, I guess, done with Atlanta.
Yeah.
And he was doing the tour, you know. Right. I think he was playing for the Reds at the time, by the way. So I was all into it. And so there was the question of Marino reworking his contract as the highest paid player
to
create room.
Right.
This is the entire task of my day.
And you're how old?
I'm 23-ish in there. And I just go right in and get right to it. Like, nobody's even around. I'm like, man, somebody else could ask this thing. And I could just stick the Channel 7 mic in.
Right. I love when that moves.
That's easy,
I just go hide behind
But there's no one around. Just me and him.
You and Peter Hoffner.
Peter Hoffner on the camera, on it.
I love it.
My man took me under his wing and got me right with every single team. But just lean in. Dan, would you restructure your contract if the team decides they want to bring Deion to make it happen? He hit me with, would you?
Oh, I love it.
And I my only response was, that wouldn't help. I mean, I think I was making like 50 grand at the time, which I thought was $1 billion.
Right, exactly. It's a great question.
But I'm like, if we reconstruct my contract, which, by the way, I work for Sunbeam Television, not the Miami Dolphins Limited partnership. when he hit me back with that, when I was like, man, what do I have available after that? I'm like, that interview turned quickly.
And you're usually pretty good on your feet now.
Yeah, but this was young, you know, still worth it. I wasn't even referred to as Jax at the time.
Yeah. It was Dan Marino.
Yeah, and he was not pleased with the idea of any of that dough going anywhere. He had earned every dime, right? So, but that's what teams had been doing at that time, reconstructing deals to bring somebody else in.
Sure. So did you, like, quickly shift to hot reads against the upcoming opponent?
Something that had nothing to do with it.
I don't know where it went.
And I don't even know what we ran that day at the station. I'm sure Jay Heiler was displeased.
And you made sure you were never going back for another Wednesday.
I was off.
That was it.
Yeah.
Yeah, they just needed me to run over there.
You weren't volunteering to come back.
Man, Sundays after a game was enough.
Yeah.
It was enough.
And you can hide behind everybody at that point.
I'll tell you one of my favorite Sundays, if you don't mind. We're at the Meadowlands. We're at the Meadowlands, right? Playing the Jets.
Yeah.
The 1994? The wondrous clock play.
Yeah.
All right. This one's good.
That one?
Yeah.
You mind if I go ahead and jump in it?
This is what you're here for. So when you bring in professionals, we just sit here and press play.
Dude, So that was Mark Ingram, right?
Yes. No, it's possibly me. I heard
so
of, no.
You're going to get to your story, but yeah. we started this lunch punch now. We go to Bo Campers. We get on Instagram Live trying to take a page out of your book.
There
And give the fans an opportunity to engage. And guy gets on, and he's a Penn State fan. Mm-hmm. He's got the Penn State helmet. Right. He is fired up to interview O.J. McDuffie. And the first question he asks, he goes, "What'd you do with the ball from the clock play?"
Wasn't him.
Yeah. It wasn't me.
You would have been, if it was you, you would have made the same play. So anyway, Dan, boom, up, bang.
Yeah.
I'm standing at the pylon.
On that side.
Right there. Game is basically over. There might have been a couple ticks on the clock, but the game is over.
Game's over
right?
at that point.
I turn around, aforementioned Peter Hoffman. Turn around. I see his red light is on. He got the whole thing to his camera, turns to me. I count 3, 2, 1, do my stand-up. And all I'm thinking the entire time is not about what I have to say. Don't bleep it up.
Right.
All I'm saying over and over in my head, I killed it, nailed it.
One shot.
Threw the microphone.
Did you drop the mic?
I love it. No, I didn't drop it. I threw it. I was like, oh, my God, I should be doing this for a living. That was the first time I really was like,
I got this.
Oh, my God, I'm going to be really good at this.
Did you have that moment on the football field? I love it. Well, it was on a football field.
It was on a football field. Yeah.
Don't fuck it up.
I want there to be a still camera somewhere, a high shot.
There's got
to
be
of
one.
Me over. I mean, I'm telling you all, no more distance than OJ to me. Hoffner, boom. Bang, boom, nail the stand up, get that thing back for Sports Extra.
We got
it. Like,
can we pull the tape? Does the tape exist?
We got to pull the tape.
Somebody, Jim Goodman has that thing.
It's on VHS, but we'll find
it. It's on beta. You put beta.
Yeah, it's at least on beta. I'm sure it is. We got to find Aaron Glenn all pissed off. We got to find it.
Oh, I didn't even see all that.
You appreciate the fact, Jax, that your boy BK is the one that came up with that play.
Are you kidding?
He didn't know that. How do you know that?
BK, Bernie Kosar said in meetings, he said, "We're going to run this play. It's going to work once and once only."
That's all you can do.
That was it. After that, everybody was going to
the real sell in that play. Honestly, is the offensive line.
Yeah,
because they still have to act.
They tried to blow it though.
Yeah.
They tried. A couple guys were supposed to block solid on that. Yeah.
Because everybody thinks it's Dan's sell down here, but I think it's you got to have kind of a lackadaisical approach, and then. Really block.
Go back and watch it. That's what happened. Right. But they didn't really block. That's the thing. The play almost blew up. They were like, oh, shit, he's throwing the ball.
Right.
It was, oh, yeah, that's that play Bernie was talking about. Oh, man, what a wonderful, wonderful moment in time.
We need to pull the tape.
That is really good stuff. You know, talk about Danny and BK. Another great that you and I, we crossed paths with, man. Great Don Shula.
Oh, man.
I know you got to have some wonderful memories and stories with shoes.
So the Monday rehash, right? That's my Friday.
Yeah.
Right. So I got to come back up to Davie.
I'm trying to keep track of his schedule.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
Now.
Yeah, it was a weird thing. Yeah.
Got it. Sunday is.
So Thursday was my Monday.
Okay.
And Monday was my Friday.
Okay.
And so that one of the last things I did in the week was going to the press conference where Coach gives us all the injuries and thoughts on the game and maybe even a little bit on the opponent coming up too. But Coach would like. Treat the electronic media like we were just like this passing thing that he had to do. And then he would sit down and have these really open, thoughtful conversations with the beat reporters.
The pretty good print guy.
Which is like the old, like, I guess that's an old school thing.
Yeah.
You know, and paper still at that time in the mid-90s were still, you know, the driving force. People got the newspaper at their house. You would get ink on your fingers, you
Absolutely.
Know, actually go to the sports page and
if
read
it's in
box
print,
scores.
It's real.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Whereas we were like waves through the air.
Sure, that new media.
Yeah, so Coach would get up there and be like super vague and not really, you know, just give you what you need. He knew in his mind 30-second sound bites and a whole bit. Probably be like 10 of those questions. And then would literally sit down, cross his legs, and just go, you know.
All right, hand me my paper, Harvey.
Yeah. Pope, what do you have? Yeah, Cody, what do you got? You know, Levitard was just coming up. You know, at the time, so.
So are you guys just watching this happen?
I sat there in pure envy, like, why aren't we allowed? And Harvey, you know, Harvey Green, the OPR guy, who's your boss for a while, right?
He was my boss
Would
for
just
a
hit
while.
Us with, like, okay, you guys got what you need? Head on back. Yeah. I'm like, okay.
Thanks, Jax.
Nice khakis, bud.
Right,
Right. Yeah, with that elastic band.
Harvey was so good.
Harvey was so good to me, by the way. Super, super good to me. He had a great relationship with my agent at the time, Jackie Harris. And so Jackie reached out to Harvey, and Harvey reached out, and they were really awesome. He and Fudge Brown, just absolute gems of my early broadcast days.
You're taking us back to a different era. Great time, Miami Dolphins.
You guys know about the Fudge Brown holes?
No.
Yeah, Fudge holes, as I call them.
You're going to have to expand upon this.
Well, so up at the Davey facility.
I'm a little lost.
Yeah. The old facility, not the new one. I don't know how you guys handle it now.
Yeah.
There was a fence. And when they had training camp, people were all up on the fence and they're throwing their stuff up and over the top. And sometimes kids wouldn't get their stuff. Yeah. Sharpies are flying, footballs are flying, the whole bit. And Fudge had this great idea, went to ops with it, and they cut these
that's Fudge's
opening.
Idea.
That's Fudge's
I didn't
idea.
Know either. That's great.
Fudge Brown holes. Fudge holes.
Yeah. Great
idea.
The
first day I went to, I was like, Fudge.
I think this name needs to go out like the old name for the media scrum.
Oh, yeah.
I think we need to
do that.
Oh, that
should go as well?
Yeah, I think we should toss that one.
I think Fudge is perfectly fine with. But it was really cool because the kids could reach through, hand their ball to OJ underneath, and he didn't have to throw it. He'd hand it right back to the kid.
Right.
So were you there when that happened?
I remember some
Were you
fudge
like,
holes.
Oh, wow, this
I
is
do
great.
I remember fudge holes. Absolutely.
Well, look, that was it. You spent your 2 years here. Yeah. You reinvented the chain link fence with Fudge Brown.
Yeah.
And then, as you said, I should be doing this for a living, off to the worldwide leader.
That was ridiculous.
Yeah, off
to that was Super Bowl. What Super Bowl was it, 24?
I can't remember.
It was. What is, we have 50-something now?
Yeah.
So that makes a decent amount of sense. Whatever it was the Niners. Here comes Deion again. It was the Niners, Chargers.
Okay.
Super Bowl, and
Bruce knew what it was.
Yeah, and it was the thing about that Super Bowl that was nuts. Is that was still the time when teams showed up for 2 weeks. Right. They would leave the facility and just be in the town forever back then.
Can you imagine?
And I remember
whose idea was that?
That was phenomenal. Two things about that. One, the Niners scored their first touchdown before I could get into the building. I had one more live shot for Channel 7, and then I was making my way to my seat in the building. And before that, it was Young, Rice, touchdown.
Right.
I mean, it didn't stop.
It was ugly.
For the rest of the night.
It was ugly.
It
was
something
else. Yeah, they're still scoring in that game. The other thing was I was on TV every day, all day, and the powers that be from the worldwide leader just turned on the television in their hotels. And so I remember one day I had my actual interview with Bob Eaton, who was the executive editor for, like, the SportsCenter component. And he was at the Sonesta Beach Hotel, Key Biscayne, and I needed to be at the Man of the Year press conference for Junior Seau, and that was in Broward. And I remember, I was like, I got to get to this interview.
And that David Broward thing has been a consistent.
It continues.
Thorn in your side.
3 decades later.
But welcome to the Hard Rock.
Yeah, baby. We're here. And so I remember, back to Peter Hoffner, one of the great videographers of our market, was at Channel 7 then, and all the way through these
Still
days.
Rocking, man.
And I don't know why, man. Yeah. He must have some
every time I
gambling
see him.
Debts. Something. Good man.
I
throw that stuff in a 401k, baby. Yeah.
Every time I see him, he says this is his last year.
Oh my God, he's been saying that for 15 years. But he covered my behind up there at the Seau press conference.
Good.
So the crazy thing is, ESPN did their due diligence. They go to Channel 7 and say, you know, I'm under contract.
Right.
So we want to hire this kid.
Yeah.
They said no. Channel 7 said no. Yeah. Yeah. And then they came back. So that's Super Bowl. So that's January, February. And then I ended up getting to ESPN by Thanksgiving. So it was like this kind of 10-month window of dancing around this buyout. And in the end, ESPN has a lot of dough.
They do.
They maybe just bought the contract out.
Right.
And then I went up there and didn't earn it the first year. I was not ready. I was 23 years old in my dream job working on SportsCenter, the feel-good edition. Craig Kilborn, Carl Ravage, Steve Levy, Brett Haber, and myself. And here's the crazy thing. There are a bunch of people over on ESPN2 that were not getting a sniff of SportsCenter. So here I come as this 23-year-old nothing, right? Into this space, really not that good at it because I was a reporter, not an anchor. And shall I run the list of people that were getting no burn on SportsCenter while I'm stumbling through?
We need
it?
A few. Yeah.
Susie Culber was just starting to get a little bit. Stuart Scott, may he rest in peace, getting no burn. Reese Davis, Kenny May, Bill Pito. Like, I mean, they were getting nothing and being sweet as hell about it, though.
Well, so that's nice.
It could get, it could be nasty.
At least in front of you, right? I mean, right. I don't know what they were saying behind your back, Jax, but that's.
And that's back when that late sports season, got the feel turn. Good was 2:30. So, like, it was 2:30 Eastern time.
Right.
I remember, like, that first year, it just felt like I was going to work at night, and then it was still dark when I left because it's 3:30 in the morning. And so my neighbors didn't even really know what I did for a living and what have you. I remember my first vacation was that following March. I went to Vegas. Sherelle and I went for the very first time, and everybody was like, hey, you're the new guy, boo, boo, boo. Like, I had to fly across the country
for anybody to recognize that I was on SportsCenter.
We're not catching you at 11:30.
Right.
Well, that's a good point.
That was the key
Plus,
component.
You got people from all over. You get to Vegas, and, like, nobody's...
No, it was definitely
10% of them are local.
Very nice of you. It was a time zone.
Yeah.
My neighbors... Back in the day in Connecticut, you would see your neighbors at the end of October, and then not again until April. That's just how it worked. Snow, cold.
Right.
And I worked
that's
at
why
night.
We're here.
That was the other thing.
Yeah. That's why you guys didn't go
paradise.
Back to Ohio.
I see
either.
My neighbors all the time.
So to that point, perfect segue, as you've been doing this show for me all day.
That's what I'm here for.
You made your way back to South Florida.
How about that? Well, I mean, I got kicked out of ESPN. I was a bit of a monster.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say, we're going to talk about that.
Yeah, I was a bit of a monster.
I didn't put that in the notes.
Oh, my life almost imploded, dude.
Yeah,
you're young. You're making a boatload of cash. They give you a radio show. Well, I'm assuming I earned it. You earn a radio show on the network. I'm the lead NBA anchor for everything we're doing.
Feeling pretty
it
good.
Was hard to tell me that I was not awesome.
Right.
Is it easier now to tell you that?
Oh, yeah. No,
so you're going to ask him to
please, stop in Publix or wherever. That's the thing. The boys are like, man, when they were younger, they were like, Dad, everybody loves you. I'm like, no, the people who don't stop
they
by.
They don't say anything.
They just keep moving.
Yeah. See, that motherfucker there, he keeps walking.
Yeah. And then the younger one would go, oh, wow, that's most people. Most people don't stop and say a word.
So anywho.
Yeah, man. So I got bounced out of there. And they were like, And so for 2 years, man, I was in the wilderness, like the darkness.
Yeah.
And so the phone finally rings, and it's Ed Filamia. And Ed Filamia was my associate producer at Channel 7.
Right.
But now he was the director of all media for the Miami Heat. Calls me up. I'm like, Ed, oh, man, good to hear from you, buddy. Oh, no. I'm about to blow this. Watch this. He goes, hey, we're about to – this is after Dwayne's rookie year. They had won the one series against New Orleans. They took the Pacers to 6 games. Dwayne's first year, come out party. It's
awesome.
That's
what I was going to say. You know you've got something now after
they
that
know,
first year.
Right?
Didn't take long.
Well, the internal thing everyone knew as well was coming in a few days. Stay with me. Ed, yeah, what's up? Yeah, we got this gig. We're going to have a bigger show. I can't really tell you why, but we're going to need a host and a reporter, and we're going to do it. It's like, listen, man, I'm still waiting to get back on national television.
Oh.
I've already been to Miami. Thank you for the call.
Oh.
We're not eating Triscuits yet.
Yeah.
Only. Actually, it was saltines.
Right.
And
right.
So
which aren't terrible.
I was still cool. I was still waiting for CBS and, you know, NBC.
Convinced
or,
it was going to happen.
Oh, that I'm back to national anytime now.
Yeah.
It had been 2 years. I should have known. Those calls weren't coming. They weren't coming.
So the wife, somebody didn't say,
No.
Wake the hell up.
Yeah, no.
The airplanes.
We don't speak to each other that way. Yeah. So anyway, 2 days later.
How'd you create that?
Sherelle's birthday, July 20th. This big tractor trailer pulls up in front of American Airlines Arena. They had traded for Shaquille O'Neal.
Yeah.
Hey, Ed.
Hey,
bud.
You know what?
Did you all feel that thing yet? They're like, no, get your tape down here. Boom, 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 bang, bang, bang. So that's July. I didn't get the job. I didn't sign my contract till October. So literally, I signed the contract. I got a bounce. We had moved back to Ohio, you know, just kind of consolidate. Sherelle was like, we got to get out of Connecticut. Like, it's never going to happen here.
Yeah.
So let's go. So she took a gig at our alma mater, Bowling Green.
Okay.
And by the way, your college town is not as awesome when you're not in college.
That's right.
That's right. Why is it college town, Jack?
Yeah, I'm like, oh, my God, we're moving to BG? This is going to be awesome. The pizza, the people, the whole bit.
The pizza.
And I'm not working. And we have these two little kids. So I'm Michael Keaton up in this joint. Google it. Google the reference.
That's a great reference.
Yeah, Mr. Mom, baby. I was doing it. Yeah. I actually spent the first 2 years with my second son every day. And it's a unique dynamic. Like, the firstborn, I'm a firstborn, Sherelle's a firstborn, Justin's firstborn. So we kind of have that bond.
Yeah.
But the second one who thinks that he walks on water,
Right.
He's a basketball player. That's the way it goes.
I was going to say. Get me started on that whole thing. I've got a whole philosophy.
And you're probably right about it. And so.
There's no problem.
Yeah, no, they're sexy and they're big and they wear pajamas to work. Like, it's, you know, it's a different life for basketball players. Anyway, so life has changed. And so we're there. I got to get here. So we have this house we're renting in Bowling Green, Ohio. And I get an apartment on Biscayne and 30th. Okay, come on, man.
Okay.
So now I got to remember the 2 years
and it
ago.
It wasn't the pizza of the people.
No, it was the luxuriousness.
Yes.
But no, so then I was the television host and courtside reporter for the Miami Heat. A year later, we won a championship, and then it all begins rolling from there.
Man, he's got a couple of rings now. Seth,
I know.
Almost had one a couple of years ago. A few rings.
I thought he'd be rocking at least one of them.
I thought it was another move. I thought enough of the Vice logo. Yeah. I thought if I snapped that in,
that would happen.
If I started wearing the rings, it's just, man, the lighting would have to change.
Let me tell you, at least give Parlay a heads up if you're going to do that.
Exactly. The three rings are awesome, as I've alluded to. Justin is my oldest son. Graduate student, candidate for two master's degrees at Ohio University.
Awesome.
My youngest son is studying PR, playing basketball.
PR?
Yeah. Not to actually be he wants to have his own fashion line.
Okay.
And so the PR stuff is for him to understand how to market and promote.
I was going
to
say.
Because
I can correct the situation if you need me to talk him in a different direction.
No, he wants to take – I think he never wants to leave basketball. And so he's when his playing days are done, whatever that is, he's just going to turn into like a little designer slash stylist.
Good market for that.
Yeah. So he's ready to roll.
Absolutely.
And then there's me, right? So there's three rings, three dudes, right? So the 13 ring is Justin's, the 12 ring is Jordan's, and that's the size. Like the bigger one is 13, 12. We acted like we won rings before.
Right.
And it's a simmer down ring. The 06 ring, we lost our mind. That's a enormous big ring. So they can do whatever they want with those. I've told them the 06 goes in the urn.
Right.
Ashes to ashes, dust to dust. Drop that first one in the urn.
You go. I love it.
With
love
me.
It. Every time Forever. You think about dad.
My career came back. It saved my life. It allowed my life to continue to move down a path that we thought was gone. I was thinking about doing some baggage claim at Bradley International Airport, baby. That's where we were. And that would just, I mean, I probably would have been great. I mean, I would have worked hard. And
probably
had
done
some
really
great
well with tips. I was
probably
say,
would have got those little
directing
planes in. I would have been like viral with my joints, you know, just bringing the planes in.
You
could have made it happen. Yeah, but this was definitely, I think, the way to go.
Like soul
tragic
planes.
American cinema.
So, if the Heat does what we all want them to do and get back and another ring is in the equation, are you going to start having more kids?
No. I thought we established that before the show.
Well, we did, but then you gave me the whole ring situation, the three-ring system.
The kid producing ended at my second son's three-month checkup in 2003.
3 months.
He was born in late 2002, December 1st.
Yeah, that's a wrap.
And so March 1st, literally went to the pediatrician and then around the corner to the urologist. Pa-tap!
This is what we're here for in the fish tank.
I've been firing dust for 18 years.
I had that.
That's all I do.
Okay, well, so I don't have to
the
ask
mummy.
That question
right,
now.
Right. The mummy of fatherhood.
Mummy.
Boy, that's why we love you, Jack.
Thank
I'm
you,
glad
man.
You
we
got the next question.
Yeah,
I felt like
too,
I was
man.
Not being
I had
funny.
A tough time.
I was
with
just
the
telling
ground,
stories, so I wanted to talk about how I have been.
Yeah, well, hopefully we can keep some of that.
Yeah.
The straight face.
So it's tough. So Jack, you know, like, we love all this. I mean, this is outstanding stuff. We love, obviously, what you've done on the hardwood.
Mm-hmm.
Love what you do in the community, man. Let's talk a little bit about, let's get back on track here.
Dial it back.
Talk about the Jack Stanley Foundation, man, and how you started that and where you're at right now and what you have planned coming up.
Man. I can tell you he's had two kids and he's done.
That part I know with the Jack's family.
So.
Jack's Fan Foundation was a creation of me realizing I'm not going anywhere. Like, I'm here for the duration. I know what day I'm going to retire. I know that I'm going to go out in a Miami-Dade County Coroner's bag. I mean, I understand these things. So I said, I've been hosting everybody's everything for over a decade.
Yeah.
And all of that stuff is awesome. What everybody's doing, the big stuff, the medium stuff, small stuff, I wanted to impact something that interests me. I haven't stopped doing those things. But Jack's Fan Foundation is super micro. The only rule we have about what we impact is I've got to be able to touch everybody. So we first half decade focused on adult foster youth and at least injecting some positivity in the life of people who never found a forever family and find themselves homeless after the checks stop rolling in from the government for having foster kids. And so many of these people find themselves homeless. And really cool organizations like Casa Valentina establish a place to land, to get themselves prepared for work, military service, education, whatever's next.
Yeah.
And it was really cool. It has been cool. I don't want to make them feel like I'm running away from them. We just have other plans coming down the avenue. Our new thing, and obviously I'm going to announce it at the Rose. So this is like a little, you know, a little exclusive you're getting right here.
I love it.
So our new program, I love to name stuff before I do anything. Like everything has to have a working title.
Right? You throw a logo and a name,
and you're done.
You got a whole fucking Fortune 500 company now.
It is, exactly. So this is going to be.
You got to work now?
It's called Get There. And what I found with so many young kids in South Florida, they don't want to leave here. And I get it, the weather and families and what have you. But to their detriment, I'm seeing so many young black and brown kids get into really prominent institutions, but they don't want to get away from the family.
Interesting.
And I'm like, okay, I don't want to change your love for your family.
Interesting.
But there's these 8 schools
that
if you go to them, they change the trajectory of your life. And I've heard too many kids get into Brown, get into Dartmouth, get into Cornell, so on and so forth, Harvard and Yale, and they never even visit the school. They got in. Think about this, OJ. Okay. If not for Mississippi and I believe Alabama, Florida would be last in this nation in public education. So if kids are emerging from that space and getting into an Ivy League institution, and the only reason they don't attend is that they're anxious or have fear, our premise is we'll pay for you to go visit, right? And if you decide to go, we'll take care of your movement back and forth throughout your education. So Get There is going to close the cost of attendance, cost of attendance dynamic, which I'm learning, you know, it's great for these kids to get room and board and tuition. But if you live in South Florida and you get admitted to Dartmouth, getting from Vermont to Miami ain't cheap, right?
No.
So we want to try to close that gap. So that's going to be our next big thing for the next half decade or so.
So you alluded to, you know, your upcoming event.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about a little bit about your event coming up. Is there a chance people would still get tickets? What's going on?
For the very first time, I sold that sucker out.
Before
the last day.
Good for you.
Listen, jackslibertyroast.com. Feel free to go on over there and check it out. I think literally 6 individual tickets is what I have left. I had to go into Eventbrite and gerrymander the numbers so that the thing sells out without me having to pay attention.
Right.
I took all the tables down and everything.
Congrats.
We've been blessed, man. For people, this is a trust issue, by the way. I truly believe when you ask people to dive inside your philanthropic endeavors,
100%.
Right? 20,000, 10,000, or individual tickets, a couple hundred, 300. They trust you to do the right thing. You know, we're impacting Ron McGill, who's one of the roasters for Dan Lebatard. He has this apparently impressive endowment.
You think?
Do you think that joke's coming out a couple of times? So the McGill Wildlife Endowment.
I'm sorry.
How about my title sponsor, Sheets and Giggles, by the way? Is there a better title sponsor for the roast?
Not for
Sheets and Giggles. Can we right now set the over under on me saying Shits and Giggles on roast night?
Yeah.
But anyway, I'm Sheets and Giggles, great linen company. They make everything out of eucalyptus. I am a customer.
I saw the.
Right. Oh, baby, did I do it? You want to put it up for
straight
them?
Straight up at it. Well, we'll have to get there.
Yeah. I laid out, I let them see it all.
Did you see this?
No. Areola to toenail.
Oh, no.
Straight I gave up. Him the whole thing. I just wrapped in sheets and just was ridiculous.
I go, what the hell? And then I read
their title sponsor, which we've never had a title sponsor before.
Yeah.
That I went and bought some sheets.
We do some things.
Eucalyptus based made sheets. They're made out of eucalyptus. Like koalas want to just roll all up in my bed and just.
He's just getting warmed up. You know his radio show's coming up.
I just see a koala walking in and just chewing on my comforter. And so I was like, what's up with eucalyptus? Let me tell you how it feels.
Yeah.
Like Jesus came back.
I got
caught up in the rapture of my sheets. It was, man,
Then I bought a comforter. Is that Anita Baker reference?
Caught up in the rapture of my sheets.
Yeah. Yeah, man. So then I got the comforter.
Don't get too Ohio, guys.
Then I got the comforter. Now I'm just, and it's not silk.
Yeah.
Because this big old, I'd slip out the bed every night. So it's not silk, but it has that kind of texture. You know, could you see me up in some silk sheets?
I'd be on the tile every night.
You might have to put some carpet down.
Down.
It's just going to be an awesome, awesome night because we're, like, we go into it, like, for the first three, I went into it needing to raise some money to pay everybody, right?
Yep, thank you very
You've been
much.
There before, right?
Appreciate it.
And so now
we're on the other end of that check.
You got that.
The foundation.
Right. So that's what we do. We give, so if you decide to be roasted, you pick your organization, or you already have one.
Yeah.
And so Levitard's the first one that didn't have a foundation, so he decided, let's give all this money that we raised to McGill's Wildlife Endowment. Okay. So I'm assuming we'll be impacting animals around
the world. Yeah, going
no,
to
the proceeds.
All the proceeds.
Yeah, that's okay. That's how I get out.
Okay, I didn't. I thought some would be going to get there or
Family. That's what Santa Jacks is for. I do. So the holiday, basically, the roast is a big commercial, honestly.
For what you do year-round.
And then what we do is we bring in a luminary to make sure people actually see the commercial about the work that we're doing, and then we honor them for the great work that they're doing. So it's just win-win-win the way around.
Got it. Yeah. And so if somebody...
My staff would like for me to take more money.
I'd imagine, yeah.
I'm like, so it's called the Jack Show.
I say that all the time. It's funny you say that. I say that to our staff all the time. Yeah. We might get... usually it's not too crazy, but we might get a directive from up above. And I'm like, look, it's the Jason Taylor Foundation. And that's where
it
starts.
Keeps it simple.
Yeah, so it makes it simple for sure. But if so, you're sold out. Congratulations.
Thank you.
I do not think that there is a coincidence that you were at the Hard Rock for the first time. And it's the first time you sold out prior to game day. But if somebody does want to support after listening to this, whether it's Get There, whether it's Levitard's or Ron McGill's charity, can they still do so?
There's this beautiful fat donate button.
Yeah.
At jackslibertyroast.org. And then also we have that great event coming up in December, Santa Jack's.
Yep.
And that's when we kind of get together, have an awesome holiday party, and take all those proceeds and start finding, we're going to basically 4 scholars a year.
Love it.
And we'll see them all the way through the end of graduation, which apparently people are fine graduating in 6 years now. I did not know that.
Doctors or lawyers.
Get your ass out.
Get your ass out. Get there to year 6.
Out of there.
Do you want to support that? I don't know if that's what you want to raise.
Get your ass out of there will be the backside of the program.
The tail end of it.
We're going to do this for 8 semesters.
Yeah.
That might be the little asterisk.
The fine print needs to be
It'll be
there.
Like a 6 font.
Absolutely does. Well, Juice, he says there's 6 tickets left, so I feel like you and the missus. I went to one of these things, and once I got over being the butt of some of the jokes, it was spectacular.
Yeah.
Jax does it right.
It out.
He does it right,
so
you
got to
check it out.
Yeah, they're individual tickets, though, so I don't know.
Yeah.
And they're mostly GA that's left.
Standing. Yeah, maybe not.
Your wife wouldn't go for that.
She
knows a guy.
She likes to support the cause.
Yeah. Somebody might have 30 seats just to his name. So, okay. I mean,
there's room on that list.
The
Jack's list.
Gotta be from Ohio.
Yeah.
I love it.
As we like to say, Jack's on.
Well, on that note, I know you've got a radio show to do, which
yes,
I think
sir.
I'm going to tune in because I feel like you're just getting warmed up.
Oh, no, that radio show is super serious.
Oh, okay.
it's about the – so I also work for Sirius XM Sports.
Serious.
And it becomes – well, not when I'm doing the NBA stuff, but this particular show, Forward Progress, where you can find our podcast, where you find podcasts. Okay. Forward Progress is about the – kind of the crossroads of race and sports. And so our bosses at Sirius XM Sports in the summer of George Floyd said, we need to have a conversation about race all of the time. So we were doing roundtables and just going nuts for a while. And then we decided to have a weekly program that airs on 6 different platforms, by the way. So a real commitment by an organization that's
great.
You know, sometimes it's that dicey space of, do I want to hear all that on our sports stations? And we get pushback, but
yeah.
Once a week for an hour, you'll be all right with a little enrichment.
It's important to have critical conversation.
What station is that on Sirius?
So it's on NBA Radio, NFL Radio, on Mad Dog, on Fight Nation, and Urban View for the people.
For the people.
Come on. When in doubt, stay black, baby.
Well, look, man, I appreciate
that. Was smart. I had
smart
something
man.
Ready.
Yeah,
smart
no,
man.
No.
Yeah, I had something ready.
I saw it in your eyes, brother.
Yeah.
I saw it in your eyes. I'm going to shift out. I hope you have a spectacular event. Sounds like you've already raised a lot of money.
Super
so congratulations.
Awesome. I got to get, like, you are like the quintessential executive director of a foundation, because you have no problem telling people, you will not profit from my nonprofit.
Yeah, it's not going to happen.
Yeah. Right.
I've been banging that drum
for
years. I
cry, and I do the whole thing. But you know what, though? You're doing...
But sometimes you got to build a stage. And when you build the stage, it's a grant.
I want to find a stage that's already built.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not there.
Like, you go build that stage, that's fine. I'm going to look for this one. Yeah. Or... When is Jax building the stage? Oh, on Saturday?
Go get that thing.
We can do our event Sunday night. Just leave
it up. I'm not there.
Leave it up. That's the move.
I am hemorrhaging
dollars
just for visuals.
Yeah.
It's phenomenal.
You'll get there.
We're going to eat, though, baby. We're going to eat
up
in here.
Oh, man, the food is good.
Oh, it's going to be
phenomenal. Absolutely. It'll be great.
My man.
Well, you were fantastic, man. So all kidding aside, I appreciate it. Appreciate your friendship, the work you're doing in the community, and for spending some time in the fish tank, man.
It has been a pleasure. I spent my entire young life at the community pool, and I feel like that the concrete beach that I experienced from 1972 until 1994, this is not that at all, but it just, I'm waiting. I have a desire to be in the water.
There it is.
Yes, sir.
There it is.
It's where I lay my burdens down.
Well, on that note,
thanks for diving in, James.
That was so fun. That
was so fun.
You're now diving into the fish tank.
Dive up in that fish tank. Who that? Sitting down with Seth Living. Seth. OJ. Juice Man. Ooh, and this is strictly for them true fans. Dog fans. Number one. Of course, y'all. This ain't no ordinary sports talk. Dive up in that fish tank. Go get your aqua orange. Yeah, it's time to dive up in that fish tank. It's only legendary talking when you dive up in that fish tank. Rocking with OJ and Seth when we dive up in that fish tank. Fans with attitude, we got to dive up in that fish tank. Celebrate big or cry hard. Leave it all on the field, we gon' try hard. Old school, a new school, mix it in. Feeling like we up close when we listening. Dolphins tails, in Miami is the deep end. We vibing with our favorite players, no secret. We get with Seth and McDuffie, bringing up stories we never heard to the public. Bet we love it, Dolphins fans never budget. We loyal to the team, whether happy or we upset. We be like, what's next? Don't switch the subject. You know it's all about them fans. And if you ready for that water, time to dive in. Don't switch the subject. You know it's all about them fans. And if you down with Dolphins Nation, time to dive in. Don't switch the subject. You know it's all about them fans. You looking at that fish tank, it's time to dive in. In that fish tank. Go get your aqua orange. Yeah, it's time to dive up in that fish tank. It's only legendary talking when you dive up in that fish tank. Rapping with OJ and Seth, time to dive up in that fish tank. Dog fans with attitude, we about to dive up in that fish tank.